to that. Oh dear, yes, as I say, I always knew we liked coming here. But it is lovely to be back again, and Happy New Year. Actually, when do you stop saying Happy New Year? Because I think by the time you get to the end of January, it seems a bit late. But then if you haven't seen anybody, then it's good to wish them Happy New Year. Anyway, why shouldn't we wish each other a Happy New Year every day of the year? Yeah, why not? Right, let's just still our hearts and remind ourselves why we are here, and that is to worship the Lord. So let's pray. Praise the Lord, for he is a loving God. Praise him, all people and living beings. God stands with us at all times and in all places. He walks through the storms of life beside us. He is our God and we are his people. Lord, you have called us. Make us worthy of your calling. In the mighty name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, may we rejoice in your love and saving power and proclaim the glory, your glory in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our opening hymn this morning is one of praise and celebration. Number 77, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. I'm on this. Now then, we've got little ones at the back there somewhere, and I promise I won't forget you this time, because last time I came, they were tucked away at the back there, and I didn't see them until the end of the service, which was a bit sad. Because one thing that really struck both Trevor and I quite powerfully when we came back to Whittlesea after that long separation due to COVID, how much the children, the young people, had changed. How they'd grown. How much they'd changed. And just not just how much taller they were, but how grown up they'd become. They developed in all sorts of ways. And I know it's what children do, and they do it at a remarkable rate of knots, I know. But they do grow and change. But because I'd not seen them for almost 2 years, that change was really, really marked. There's lots of Can you hear me at the back there? Because I'm going to ask you some questions. Can any of you ride a bike? You see, I told you the big ones would reply as well as the children. Never fails. Who taught you to ride your bike? Dad? Yep. I still have a picture in my mind of my dad teaching me to ride a bike. We live way out over Crowland Common. And I can remember now he used to run holding my saddle bag. You used to have a little bag on the back with your tools in. And he used to run along holding the back of my bike. And remembering one day seeing his shadow and realising he wasn't holding my bike. Good job there was no traffic down the common. But these are the things that we remember, aren't they? They're things that people have taught us. It's like we girls, who taught you to fix your hair? Who taught you to do your plaits? Family members are guarantee. Mum, granny, auntie, somebody like that. Who taught us to knit or sew? Mum, yeah. Well, I was always a bit annoyed because my grandma could crochet. She used to crochet using sewing cotton, girls. And she wouldn't teach me because I was left-handed. I think I missed out a bit there. I did learn a long time later, but there you go. This one goes for us all. Who taught you to tie your shoelaces? Teacher on a board. Blimey. Not heard that one before. It was anybody that was handy, actually, wasn't it? Big brother, big sister, mum, dad, anybody. But we've all relied on lots of people. Oh, I love the picture. Oh, I like that one. Yes. Well, just imagine from the little one up to the top one. That's about the change we saw in 2 years. So, woof, where did that happen? You know. We all need people to help us to grow and develop, don't we? And I'm not now talking about just the little ones. We all need people to help us to grow and develop. And when I looked at the lectionary, it always bothers me a little bit at this time of year, because the lectionary rushes us through Christmas to when Jesus is an adult, coming to John the Baptist for baptism, the start of his ministry. And we forget that Jesus, the baby in the manger there, whose birth we've just celebrated, spent many years growing up in an ordinary Jewish family, doing just what these young people have been doing, learning, finding out, gaining new skills and building their confidence. We don't come as complete adults. We don't come as a complete package. At birth, we're totally dependent on other people. But slowly, we learn to become independent and lay down solid roots in what I hope and pray for all children is a fertile soil full of nourishment. It's up to the adults around these young people to provide that fertile soil with the love and care and guidance which will set them on the way into the future. There's a whole raft of people, as we've discovered, involved in our development. So many people who help us to change from that baby into a school pupil, a teenager, then to a man or woman. It's a long process. It's a lifelong process. So you see, as these young people go on growing and learning and, sorry, asking questions, they're mirroring what Jesus did as he grew up. He didn't come to earth as a complete adult either. He hadn't got all the answers when he came. He went through the same growing and learning process that each human being does, putting down roots into fertile soil provided by his family, his teachers, his friends. We have the privilege as adults of sharing in the way, in the joy of the way these young people grow. And there's another one I've just spotted that is growing at an alarming rate of knots on the back row there. It's only, what, 4 months since we were here, and that was a little tiny baby in arms. I've forgotten her name. Penny. She's now standing up there on Dad's knee, taking it all in and sorting you all out. But she's going to need the good soil to grow in. She's going to need your love and your care and your encouragement throughout the whole of her life. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we place each one of these young people into your hands, trusting you to watch over them as they grow and develop into the people you know they can be. And we also pray, Lord, that you will guide the adults who surround them with the wisdom, the patience, and the love to allow them to develop in their own way, at their own speed. Make us all part of their growing process, for we too will grow and develop along with them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And let's say together the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Shall we take up the offertory now? Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, just that. Right, thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that we have received. Thank you for these gifts here in my hands. We take a moment now as we return them to you, asking that you will bless them, bless those who give and those who will receive the benefit of them, that your holy name may be glorified. Amen. And we sing again a hymn that is very close to my heart. It was one of the hymns that I chose for my recognition service. 260, Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it.
Thank you.
Let's just pray. Lord, this is a special time. A time when we seek to focus on you. A time to listen and learn from Scripture and from one another. Speak to each one of us now as you know our need. Open our hearts and minds to your message. Help us as we grow in knowledge and understanding to also grow closer to you. Amen. Now I'm using two of the lectionary readings today. One is from Acts chapter 8 and one is from Matthew. So Lynn is going to read both passages actually, but we'll have a hymn in between. So we hear Peter invoking and John invoking the Holy Spirit upon the Samaritans.
When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had yet not come on them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit.
Just a reminder there that although the people had accepted the message, they needed the presence of the Holy Spirit to open their minds so that they could fully understand what was involved in this message. And Peter and John went along and helped that to happen. But it's also a reminder that it was a message for all people, not just the Jews. It wasn't just for the elite. It was for everyone. And we sing again, number 758, underlining this fact. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth.
Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 13. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Amen. Thank you for these readings of his word.
As I said earlier, I always find this time of year a bit confusing when it comes to the lectionary. One minute we're in a stable with a baby born to be king, with shepherds and angels. And then we have wise men coming to worship and offer their gifts.
And that always concerns me as well. Those gifts for the baby. Not exactly a baby grower and a soft toy, was it? But there you go. So how old was Jesus when they came? We don't know, do we? We don't know. Then, of course, we're dashing off to Egypt out of the way of a jealous Herod. How long did they stay? Where did they stay? How did Joseph provide for his family? I'm a very inquisitive person, as you've probably gathered by now. But I want to know, because it's all part of Jesus' development. It's all part of him becoming who he was. And now week three, we've got Jesus, all a full-grown man, coming to John the Baptist to be baptised. The start of ministry, being acknowledged by God himself. Now, for any little brain, was it bear of little brain? That's me. That's a lot of change and development that we're left to imagine. But it's important that we do acknowledge this passage. Jesus did not come to earth as a fully paid up, totally trained rabbi. He came as a human baby with all the growing, learning, falling over and bruising his knees that any child has to go through. We know he was inquisitive as well, so I feel fully justified in asking all these questions, because in Scripture we are told that as a young man he was found in the temple, asking questions of the teachers and elders. We know Jesus taught him the skills of a carpenter. His mother was no doubt left to do the religious teaching. That was normal in a Jewish family, that it would be down to mum to do the religious teaching. And his own later teaching showed us that he had a grasp of agriculture and the need for good soil to allow growth to take place. Now, at this point, you would all, well, quite a lot of you would expect me to go on about what's happening in the garden. Well, at the moment, I don't know about yours, but there's not a lot happening in the moment. But I know it will. This is the time of waiting. And Jesus did a lot of waiting. He had a lot of times of waiting until the next stage came on. And I shall report to you on the next stage next time I come, most probably. But there we go. We have to keep up our traditions, don't we? The wonderful thing for me, anyway, and I hope for all of you as well, is that Jesus did do all these things. He did the ordinary. He did the mundane. He did the bits that we have to take for granted. And he did it under the wing of God himself. We cannot get away from the fact that he was the Son of God. But that didn't exempt him from doing all the things that every other human has to do to become a fully grown adult. And he did it for every single human being. As we said, the passage in Acts reminds us that the Jews were not the only ones to accept the eventual ministry of Jesus. His ministry was for all the world, just as his life experiences had been for all the world. But just as Jesus needed the touch of the Holy Spirit to set him on his way, to push him off from the shore, if you like, the people in Samaria, and still for us, need the Holy Spirit to come into their lives to allow them to grow and learn and develop to their full potential, to truly understand the message that Jesus brought. And that really is my message to you this morning. Jesus did the ordinary things. So when we do the ordinary things, it's still worship. It's following in his footsteps. And those who choose to live their lives in accordance with Jesus' teaching do so under that same wing of God that Jesus did his development under. The Holy Spirit will watch over us and guide us and direct our paths just as it did for Jesus. So as I was encouraging you earlier to take part in the growth and the development of our young people in the congregation, as we grow and learn and develop and experience, we can know that we are truly following in the footsteps of Jesus. This may not sound a terribly theological sermon, reflection, whatever word you want to use, but I think it's something that we do tend to skim over as saying, well, that's what we do because we're human. But that's what Jesus did as well. And I've no doubt that even after he'd been touched by the Holy Spirit and he'd been baptized by John, he still continued to learn and grow in his knowledge of his Father. He still grew and learned and developed right through to the very end. And that's what we will do. We're following in those footsteps, and they're good footsteps to follow. But we do need to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we can really, really take on the full message. And I'm going to invite you to sing again now. Sorry, Sheila, you've only had a little rest this morning. 469, come Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire. Let us thine influence prove, source of the old prophetic fire, fountain of life and love. Thank you. As human beings, as communities, as a world, we cannot grow and develop to our full potential unless we are firmly rooted in goodness. And our prayers of intercession this morning will have three parts. After each, I will leave a short time of quiet for you to bring your own prayers to God. First of all, we will pray for those close to home, thinking of those you know whose potential for life is held back as they struggle with life for various reasons, and we hold up their situations to God. Living God, you know our hearts and our hurts. We commit them to you now and invite you to come close to those we have prayed for, bringing your healing, your comfort, and your hope. Secondly, we pray for situations further afield, taking time to think of troubles we've heard of in the news, or perhaps someone we've met whose story has affected us. And in the quiet, we hold these people and situations up to God. Living God, you know the pains of the world. It can feel like a dark place when we switch on the news or read our papers. We can see where people and places are blighted by conflict, mistrust, greed, and a lust for power. Into the darkness, bring your light. Into the conflict, bring your peace. And into the brokenness, bring your healing. Finally, we spend a moment praying for the church, this church, the wider church, people of all faiths. Wherever persecution, apathy, doubt, or fear stand in the way of growth. And in the quiet, we pray for all who are gathering in worship today. Living God, help us, your people, to be your hands and feet in the world. May we find ways to be an answer to prayer, to bring transformation in our own lives, into our communities, and into our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our final hymn this morning is number 788. Behold the servant of the Lord, I want thy guiding eye to feel.
Thank you. We're still switched on, aren't we? Yes.
Well, we've been making figures of Anna and Simeon, who met Jesus at the temple when he was just a baby. And they realised who he was. And they'd been waiting for so long to meet him. And so it's good to be welcomed. And just as John the Baptist met Jesus, he knew who he was and he baptised him. And then everyone knew who he was because it was revealed that he was the Son of God. Yeah. So we've made welcome cards as well.
Are we going to put the little figures on here? Will that work?
You can do.
Will they stand up?
Yes, they should do.
Yep. All right. Can you pass me that one, Pet? No?
They're not
compromised. No? Okay. No? Hang on, we've got one foot going forward, one going backwards.
There we are.
Yeah. Right. And you've got welcome cards.
We have. Well, yes, they've
been. Be under the one there. Yes. Can we have a look at your card?
And to welcome you too, just as Jesus was welcome.
Benjamin, is it? Have I got the right one?
Nathan.
Oh, I knew I'd get it wrong. Now you know why I only had one child. So you're Nathan. And that's your welcome card, is it? For Jesus? Yes? Good lad. Am I allowed to do that? Yes, I am in full view, aren't I?
Yes.
Sorry, it comes naturally.
Yes.
And this is another one, is it?
Yes, it is.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well done. They're into their music, I can see, because there's a lot of instruments on there. Well done, you. Oh, he's going to have a look round. He's fine. Pop him up there if he wants to stay. No? I have that effect on small children. I don't know why, but I have that effect on small children. Babies usually look at me and go, there we go. There you go, you see, I can do it from this distance. But that's lovely. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Just remain seated while I share a blessing with you. The Father who created us is with us. The Son who redeemed us is with us. The Spirit who strengthened us is with us. So as we go from this place, may we go with that knowledge in our hearts, inspired to share the blessings of the love of Jesus Christ with all who we meet during the coming days. Amen.